The following podcast is brought to you by the Station of the Cross. Thank you for listening.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us today on Calling All Catholics. I'm Gina Zanicki, Director of Radio Production for the Station of the Cross. Father Mike Mayer is with us today on our Open Forum Monday edition of the program, talking about the fruits of the Holy Spirit in the context of all the challenges and difficulties of our day. If you have a question on this topic for Father Mike or anything else on our Catholic faith, our phone lines are open for you at 1-877-511-5483. 1-877-511-5483. We also welcome your emails at cac@thestationofthecross.com or by posting to our Facebook page, The Station of the Cross Catholic Radio. Good afternoon, Father Mike.
Good afternoon, Gina.
Thank you for being with us today.
You're welcome.
Can you start us with an opening prayer?
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, kindle in us the fire of your love that we may bear witness to your kingdom and always be faithful disciples. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. So the fruits of the Holy Spirit, Father, what brought this up for today?
Well, it kind of builds on the last show I did on virtues and vices and how we Christians are called to live our lives. And I think there's a real challenge, perhaps more and more. I've been reading a book called Death by Suburb by an evangelical. And he talks about how, without even knowing it, suburban life can kind of suck our discipleship out of us. It can pull us away and replace it with other values, other ways of thinking that really aren't, let's say, focused on the gospel message. So we have to be very aware of that. And I've also said in previous talks that, as Paul says, we are first and last citizens of heaven. Now, we have to make a choice. Am I going to be a good citizen of heaven, or am I going to be a good citizen, let's say, of the world, the United States? And people say, well, why can't I be both? Well, you've got to make a choice. You've got to say, what's your focus? What are your basic foundations? Because I think we have in our culture, even among very good Christians, perhaps some sloppiness in terms of who we are, what we're called to be in the world. And we can say, well, you know, this happens in my neighborhood or whatever. That doesn't make it right, doesn't make it good. If it doesn't focus on specifically being a Christian, then it may be counter to what we're called to do. And a lot of people say, as Christians, we're called to be counter-cultural. I'd rather say that our culture, our secular culture, is counter to what real culture is supposed to be. And I would say real culture is supposed to be Christian. And I don't mean to say that everybody has to be a Christian. But as Christians, we believe that God created the world and human beings to be in a particular way, to live in a particular way, to worship in a particular way. And that goes far beyond the expectations of our citizenship in any country. So how do we judge ourselves as Christians? Sure, I go to Mass every Sunday. Okay, I bring the kids to faith formation. Yeah, and maybe I even do some other outward things. I read books, belong to a prayer group, etc. But what are indications that, in fact, I'm living the Christian life? And that's what we get into when we get into the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Some very concrete ways that can hopefully shake us up and say, you know, maybe I've been living more as a human being rooted in our secular culture, as opposed to a child of God and a disciple of God, one who's constantly learning how to be more like Jesus, not like the world, but more like Jesus. And it's going to bear fruit. And that's what Paul says. We're called to bear all types of fruits through our good works as a way of giving witness to the kingdom of God.
Yeah, it's one thing to want to change and improve our lives and be able to be better, better Christians and better Catholics, but it's another to know exactly how to go about doing that, and the fruits are a great way of doing that.
They are. And that's why when I talked about the virtues, and I said that if we want to get away from the vices, the bad things we do in our lives, we have to create a good habit. And that's basically what the virtues are. Habits that with God's help we create in our lives that make us more like God. So instead of being, let's say, lazy, I'm becoming energized to do the work of the Lord. And that takes hard work. You know, and again, ask any person in any kind of 12-step program what they have to go through in order to make a change from the bad habits of thinking and doing and creating new habits. And they'll tell you it's a lifelong pursuit. And it certainly should be that with Christians. It's a lifelong pursuit to be a better and better and better light to the world, leaven, yeast, all the wonderful images that Christ gives us, especially that image of bearing good fruit. He says a healthy tree will not bear bad fruit. So what is the good fruit? And is it being expressed in our lives? If people looked at us, would they say, yeah, you know, they got this, they got that, and these are the fruits of the Holy Spirit in our lives?
Yeah, it's important not to get discouraged and to just keep saying, okay, well, how can I keep trying to improve instead of slipping back or feeling like I'm never going to get it? Like you said, it's going to be a lifelong pursuit anyways.
Yeah, and if you think of the agricultural motif, which Christ uses a lot, the farmer just doesn't go out and pray that the plants will be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
He certainly prays, but he fertilizes, he pulls the weeds, he trims the branches, and that's what we need to do. We can pray all we want and ask God to do X, Y, and Z, but God has created us to be cooperators with his grace, to be participants in the building up of the kingdom of God, not just people who are standing around waiting for God to show us the way and to do what we may be afraid to do or unwilling to step out in faith and do.
Yeah, it can be that struggle to know exactly, well, what am I supposed to do for my part in the sense of, and still be able to pray and trust in God. Some people can start getting torn. Well, if I'm doing this or that, then does it mean that I'm not actually trusting God? And trying to figure out that line.
That's right. And fear of the Lord is certainly something we're called to live in our lives, but it doesn't mean, oh, if I do the wrong thing, God's going to slam me. It means respecting God and also trusting in God. But, God has given us far more in terms of graces than we can ever imagine. And my sense of God is that God is saying, come on, get up, do things. I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to abandon you. If you make a mistake, I'm there for you. And there was a wonderful book by Ron Hanson, I think I've mentioned it before, Marietta in Ecstasy, where at the end of the book, it's this former cloistered nun who's home now, and she says, you know, God still does wonderful things for me, and when I ask him what he wants of me, God says, surprise me. I love that. I love that image. You know, God, who's our father. We are his children. Parents take delight in their children. You know, they try different things. You know, it may mean a mess in the kitchen, but there's something freeing about trusting God enough to walk in faith and to try things. Because really that's becoming the free sons and daughters of God that we are. People who have, we know, I don't think anybody doesn't know who's basically a disciple on the road of what's good and what's evil, what to do, what to avoid, what might bring us into danger, what might not. So really, the world is out there for us to do wonderful things in the name of God. So it's a wonderful image, that idea of surprising God.
Definitely. Father Mike Mayer, live this hour on Calling All Catholics, talking about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And you can give us a call with any questions you might have on the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And we're talking specifically in the context of all of the challenges and difficulties of our day to be able to apply the fruits of the Holy Spirit. 1-877-511-LIVE, 1-877-511-5483.
The Catechism of the Catholic Church, in terms of the fruit, says the fruits of the Spirit are perfections that the Holy Spirit forms in us as the first fruits of eternal glory. So really, they are our way of sort of living heaven now, living our eternal destiny here and now. Another website talks about the fruits of the Holy Spirit as visible attributes of a true Christian life. I like that idea, visible attributes. And so that's why I think we can use the fruits of the Holy Spirit as sort of guides or criteria to judge ourselves against. And I think we take them seriously. Again, we can ask ourselves, how well am I doing in my Christian faith? Am I taking these fruits that are part of the Holy Spirit, His life in me, and am I using them? And of course, the first one, everybody probably would guess this one, is love. Christians are called to show love. And I've said this before, too, that when we're talking about love, we're not talking about a feeling. You know, people talk about falling in love, you know, as if there's this big hole in the ground. I fall into it. That's falling in love. As opposed to, and this is what true Christian love is, and that's why when we talk about, we call it agape love, not erotic love, or even philo, that kind of brotherly or sisterly love. It's love that is directly centered on God, and God's love for us is unconditional. So that's the same for us. Our love has to be unconditional. It's a love by choice. Whether we feel like it or not, we may tend to make our decisions based on how I'm feeling at the time, what my personal preference is. But that's got nothing to do with our Christian faith. It's really about a free choice that I make, knowing all the parameters, knowing what God wants me to do, what God wants me to avoid, and I make it despite how I feel. And again, if we look at Christ, who is the perfection of that particular way of loving, it also means suffering. It means the cross. And again, I wish I could choose my cross. And I like to, you know, look at my life and say, well, maybe that's the cross. Well, you know, I'm not always sure. But suffering is part of it. In fact, I would say not just part of it, it's front and center. So when the fruit of the Holy Spirit comes in here as love, do we see in ourselves, will other people see in ourselves that despite, let's say, my medical condition, maybe I'm dying of cancer, but do I still choose to be life-giving to others? Do I still choose to be concerned about others? Do I still choose to say to other people, you know, I don't like the suffering, but I accept it. It's a mystery, but it's a part of the mystery of Christ's life in the world, and I can accept it. Right there, that's a huge witness, because we don't see a lot of that. We certainly pray a lot about being delivered from suffering. And I'm not trying to minimize the reality of the difficulty of suffering, but it is part of our walk with the Lord.
Yeah, and even taking, of course, with love, not seeing it just as a feeling or a charity, we can apply that to all of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, that it's not,
yes,
I feel this
exactly.
way.
Exactly. That's absolutely right. And I have been blessed as a priest to be with people as they have been dying and to see, well, certainly one of the two fruits that were the next two, actually, which they show very clearly, joy and peace. But first of all, it's the love. They lovingly suffer. That's almost a contradiction in terms. How can you lovingly suffer? Well, again, it's going back to the roots of our faith. It goes back to what God has already done for us and what He's doing in us, so that I can choose to be loving even in my suffering and walk with the Lord, so that it's not based on if the conditions are right, I'm going to be loving. No, it doesn't matter what the conditions are. I can choose to be loving. And so, again, in our society, when we tend to focus on how I'm feeling, what I feel like at the time, how this makes me feel like, Christianity saying that's got nothing to do with being a good disciple. It's how you choose, given all the knowledge of God and of the stuff that's going on in the world, how you choose to be faithful in love as a loving person in following the Lord.
So those are the, let's see, the first three, charity, joy, and peace, and these come from the Douay Rheims translation list, Father?
The good question. Traditionally, the Catechism talks about 12, but if you go to the Revised Standard or other ones, there's 9. So the Douay Rheims really kind of opens up 3. So, and I would put it all under, they would say modesty, continency, and chastity. Whereas in the other scriptures, it's those three are conflated into self-control. So basically, we talk about 9. So in most people's Bibles, I have the Revised Standard here, there's 9. And so those 9 are love, joy, peace, patience or forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So let me just say that again. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And again, because they're fruits of the Holy Spirit, perfections that the Holy Spirit is working in us, all of us are called as good farmers, spiritual farmers, to take those fruits and to nurture them and to choose them in every situation. So again, so that they are really visible, and not so that people say, geez, aren't you a great person, but rather so that we can have some idea if, in fact, I really am taking these fruits to heart and letting them shine through my life so that other people will be attracted, not to me, but to God. And want to know about the goodness of God in their lives.
Yeah, there can be the irony here of maybe somebody having a pride in thinking that they have, say, mm-hmm. for instance, goodness, but or kindness, any of them. But it goes back, I think, to the feelings. Well, look at me, I'm so good, and
right.
it comes naturally, which isn't really the same as
right.
obviously perfecting the having the fruit of the Spirit.
And sometimes we have, I won't say it's a false humility, but we in some ways have a false humility in the sense that I can't do anything right. Well, God doesn't think that. And I think that's part of a fear of the Lord or lack of trust in the Lord. We have to be really humble to make judgments in these areas. And humbleness is an objective understanding of who we are, what our strengths are, what our weaknesses are, what we do well, what we don't do well, and to be honest about them, not so that we can fall into pride, but so that we can use the gifts that we have and use them well. But it's a fine line, and I think we get afraid at times. You know, am I going too far here? Am I not going far enough here? But again, I think the fruits give us an opportunity to ask ourselves objectively, do I have that fruit in my life? Am I showing it? Because it does affect other people. So the second one, which I think is a wonderful, wonderful fruit, and I mentioned it in my article in this month's radio newsletter, one of the most powerful ways in which we can evangelize is by showing the joy of the Lord. I'm asked again and again by people, you know, my children are practicing. What can I do? I don't want to lecture them, right? Don't lecture them. But to be gentle, that's another fruit. But to be joyful, show the joy that you have in your faith. True joy, true. In fact, the new translation for the Mass uses happiness quite a bit. I'm a little bit surprised by that, but we have to remember it's true happiness. Which is rooted in God. And it's there in the good times and in the bad times. And joyful people are infected people. They're infectious. And to show the joy of our faith, it's not simply because I happen to be an extrovert and it's easy for me to be cheery, but rather I choose to be joyful and show that joy even in the worst situations. So, and that's wonderful. Again, as I mentioned with people that I've known who have been dying, there's still a deep sense of joy there that even pain and suffering can take away from the individual. So am I showing that joy in my life? Am I showing my joy in being a child of God, in knowing God, in knowing what God has done for me? Or would people, you know, look at me and not have any idea of, you know, what really energizes me, what really grabs my attention?
Father Mike Mayer live this hour on Calling All Catholics, answering your questions today on our Catholic faith. Particularly, we're talking today about the fruits of the Holy Spirit in the context of all of our challenges and difficulties of the day. Give us a call at 1-877-511-LIVE, 1-877-511-5483. We also welcome your emails at cac@thestationofthecross.com. or by posting to our Facebook page, The Station of the Cross Catholic Radio. So if someone wants to know, Father, well, how do I know if I have a particular fruit of the Holy Spirit? Do I only know whenever there's difficulties and I'm trudging along to have it?
Well, I think we can ask ourselves, I was saying it when we're in prayer, am I joyful? What am I joyful for, about? What energizes me? The last time I got, let's say, in some kind of a discussion, what was the discussion about? Was it about politics, taxes? Was I joyful then? And I think when we're talking about these fruits, it's also, what do we do with the fruits? In other words, we can surround ourselves with people who are always talking negatively, critical, etc. Well, that's going to pull us down, and that's going to put a damper on the joy, as I say, that the Holy Spirit is developing in us. So I have to work with that joy. So what would it look like for me to be joyful? Do I work at it? Again, it's not magic. It's not miracle. It's something that, yes, the Holy Spirit, God, is doing with me. But like, as I said before, a good farmer, I have to be doing something. It's kind of like I have to prime the pump, or I have to sit down and say, am I joyful for my faith in Jesus Christ? How would I, as an individual, show that joy? Do I smile in church? You know, some people would say, well, you don't smile in church or whatever. It's very serious. Well, what is my joy? Is the Lord my joy? And then to practice being joyful. Do I enjoy God? I can ask myself that. And I think the more I ask myself that and move into, let's say, a meditation on gratitude, on thankfulness, and keep on doing that, then I think the joy is going to bubble up, because I'm going to begin to realize, yeah, I've got a lot to be joyful about, a lot to be grateful about. And so we can count our blessings. We can count our joys. And again, if there's something in us that's really powerful, it's going to show. It's going to show one way or the other out in the world.
We have a caller on the line. We have Joyce from Buffalo. Good afternoon, Joyce.
Good afternoon, Gina. Good afternoon, Father.
Good afternoon, Joyce.
I would like, you know, it has nothing to do with the program. I love it, what we're talking about. But I would like you to please say a prayer for the repose of the soul of my brother-in-law, Bob, who died earlier this morning.
Okay. Loving God, we ask you to be with Joyce and her family as they move through this time of mourning. Help them to keep their eyes fixed on you, that you are the beginning and end of all things. We pray for the repose of Bob, who died this morning. May he know the fullness of joy, the fullness of love, the fullness of peace, the fullness of all the wonderful gifts of the world that you give us now, that you bring to perfection only in heaven. And may we always be focused on those gifts and yearn for the kingdom of God to be with you for all eternity. May Almighty God bless you, Joyce, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And also you, and I love
thank you
what you are talking about today.
Yeah, do you have any thoughts on it, Joyce? Do you want to chime in on any of them?
The fruits of the Holy Spirit, I don't know. It just—they're coming little by little after 72
good
years.
Well, and that's it. It doesn't matter how old or young we are. We've always got to be focusing on them and finding ways to tease out. And God gives us those opportunities, you know, in the most surprising ways. Even in a situation like you're going through now, be open to those little hints or kisses from God that you're going to see through all of this, where God's going to give you some opportunities to practice the joy to bring that joy to others, even in the midst of mourning. And this is a wonderful opportunity where we can say to people, yes, death is something we don't look forward to, but if it weren't for death, we wouldn't get to heaven. And as St. Ignatius of Antioch puts it, he says, what is death? It's birth into real life. Isn't that a joyful way of looking at death? And so here you can evangelize on that, to focus on that and say...
I refuse to be lava mouth. I say it all the wrong way. So I just try to witness by how I live.
Yep, absolutely.
I try not to speak too much.
Mm-hmm. Well, people will see the joy and they'll see the peace. They'll see all those good things, whether you say anything or not, because they just... They're powerful. I'm sure you know that from people.
Very, very quick and very sudden and really unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's a difficult. Not so much for myself, but for my sister-in-law.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And her family. So.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to be a great comfort to them by sharing your faith.
And even though you know you or someone else is in mourning or having that joy along with it, Father, putting it all together, it doesn't mean, well, if you have joy, then you're not going to cry or something like that.
Right.
But
right.
It all comes together because we're still human and we have emotions.
And the reality of heaven, I think that's one of the things where joy now can give witness to the reality of heaven. You know, a lot of Christians who go to church all the time, when you talk about death and being ready for death, they're frightened. They're afraid. What are they afraid of? And I think that's where we can help one another to say, well, God's on our side. If God is for us, who can be against us? And as Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So, you know, if we take what Scripture tells us, hopefully it can move us a little bit beyond what our culture says. You know, our culture says, oh, death and dying is a horrible thing, pain and suffering, you got to get rid of it. But we Christians say, no, it's not that bad of a thing. It's actually a gift, if you look at it through the eyes of faith, and it's given to us not so that we can be worried or fail, but so that we can be truly on fire with the love of Christ and draw other people to Christ.
Well,
God bless you.
Thank you very
God
much.
God bless you, Joyce.
Appreciate the call today. We have John on the line from Webster, New York. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, Gina. Good afternoon, Father. Father, I'm calling with a prayer request, a prayer of healing, requesting that strength that you were just talking about, the Holy Spirit. My father had a severe break in his arm, required surgery. They're mm-hmm. up in their age, my mom and dad, and it's been quite a trial. Mom, I think, is diagnosed with cancer and lung cancer. And I just would like prayers of healing and consolation. And like I say, for them to faithfully face the road ahead and Lord's will, if they can be healed, that would be greater glory to God.
Let me say, tomorrow is the Feast of St. Augustine. St. Augustine said in one of his letters to a woman about prayer, he says, look, God knows exactly what we need before we ask for it, and he does not withhold anything that we need to be faithful. So Augustine says, then why do we pray? He says, well, we pray because we need to exercise our desire for God so that when God answers our prayer, in a way perhaps unexpected, we'll be ready to receive it, not because it fits into exactly what I wanted to happen, but because it really is the best way that God can answer our prayer. So let's say a prayer for your mom and your dad. Loving God, we know that you know exactly what we need before we ask for it. You give us what we need so that we can be faithful. Bless John's father and mother as they continue to walk faithfully in light and in darkness, knowing that you are the light of the world, that you are always there with them, that you are their joy, that you are their strength, and that to constantly give over to you, to throw at the foot of the cross all of their worries and fears and concerns, knowing that you are the great lover of us all. We ask all these things through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
God bless you, John. You're very welcome.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate the call today, John. You're listening to Calling All Catholics on the Station of the Cross with Father Mike Mayer here on our Open Forum Monday edition of the program. We're talking about the fruits of the Holy Spirit in the context of all of our challenges and difficulties of our day. 1-877-511-LIVE, 1-877-511-5483.
It's interesting that we have these prayers for healing because the next fruit is peace, which, again, as I mentioned before, in knowing people who have been dying, a deep sense of peace. In fact, there was one woman who suffered for years with cancer, and every time I would go over to her home to anoint her or pray with her, it was she ministering to me. And I find that in many cases, going to deal with people who are very, very faithful, rooted in the Lord, who are suffering greatly, but they're at peace. And they give me peace. You know, it just kind of flows from them. It's like a vibration or a wave that comes out of them. And that is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. But again, it has to be something that is worked at and worked on to constantly step back from the situation. Perhaps when we get all upset and say, no, wait. Who's in control of all this? Well, it's God. I'm not in control. What does God want of me? All he wants of me is at each moment to focus on him and do the work of the moment. So whatever the moment is, I can be fully there knowing that God is fully there in that moment. And as one person puts it, he says, peace is the result of resting in a relationship with God, that we can truly rest in Christ. And that's kind of a definition of contemplative prayer, really, resting in God. And it's something, and contemplative prayer is a gift from God. It's not something I do. However, I can put myself sort of in the way of resting with God or make myself available. And that really goes to the heart of prayer. My senses with prayer, it can be either something effortful that I've really got to consciously, you know, if I don't pray quite right, it's not good enough. And then I accuse myself of whatever, this, that, and the other thing. When prayer is always the initiative of God, that's what the Catechism of the Catholic Church says. It says prayer is always God's initiative. He initiates it. I don't. So I look at it this way. It's like God and the beautiful image of Jesus at the door knocking. He's always knocking. When I hear the knock and I respond to it, I consciously pray. I consciously enter into that relationship with God. So even God makes that easy. It doesn't have to be effortful. So that the idea of peace is, you know, I'm not trying to tie up all my worries. I don't need to, because God ultimately is carrying them for me. In a sense, I just have to hold on to his coattails. And there, he is my peace. He is peace. It's not a feeling. Again, it is the reality of God in my life. But again, I have to consciously work at that understanding, invite that into my life, and practice it. So in a situation, what would it look like for me to be peaceful? Again, not a feeling, but to recognize the reality of God's love for me and that I can be at peace. I don't have to be struggling because God is the one who ultimately is carrying me through everything.
Especially those situations where you are agitated or it's been a few weeks that something's been going on, and to be able to just reflect and imagine or think about it, like you said, Father, of just, How would I be different if I was at peace,
yeah,
and if I trusted, and be able to first take that step in your mind and then see how you'd be able to apply that?
Yeah, and I think modern psychology gives us a few little helps here. You know, one of the very, very basic things, and this is really common sense, you can try to think yourself into a different life, but you've also got to act on it. You've got to do things. So, you know, for me, it afternoon, I'm sitting in my chair, I'm sleepy, I don't want to get up and go to the gym. But if I don't get up and go to the gym, I'm not going to be healthy. And I know if I do act on that common sense thing, but act on it, I am going to feel better. I feel great when I get home from the Y. And then I think to myself, why is it so darn hard? But that's that pull. That's the pull that we human beings have, that sort of earthly being and then the heavenly person that we are, created in the image of likeness of God, that we can make a choice, despite how we feel, to practice peace. And that's true for all of us. So again, what would it look like? What would my script look like if I wanted to write my new script that says, I'm going to show the world that I can be peaceful? What would it look like? How would I respond to other people? As opposed to how am I responding now, going back to the vice and virtue thing? How am I responding now? What's the new habit that I want to develop in my life?
And the answer is going to be obviously different for everyone, but with the same, the similarities as well. But it's going to depend on your vocation and your state in life and what situations are coming up at the time. Like Joyce and John with our callers, who had people that they know with health problems, they're going to have some different situations than somebody else down the street is going to have.
And these are particular situations for them to help them to develop all the different qualities of Christian life. Again, I think we may feel burdened by what goes on in our lives as opposed to looking at these things as opportunities to practice what we know to be true. And again, that peaceful, the more we work at the peace, the more when those conflicts and difficulties come, I'm going to be a little looser to deal with them in different ways. I'm not going to have this knee-jerk reaction, but I'm going to say, oh, wait, I don't have to jump out the window because I'm so upset. I can actually look it in the face and I can draw other people to look at it differently. So it again, it's not just for me. You know, these fruits are really not for me alone, but they're really for the world, for the building up of the kingdom. So that's another thing we have to keep thinking of too, that, you know, me. No, it's God allowing me to go through these things for my growth in faith so that I can better show the love of God to the world.
Even the way I was thinking when you're mentioning how really those that are ill that you go to tend to are helping you out in so many ways, that their faith and the peace that they have because of that faith, you do what you can to improve your health and even pray for a miracle. But if that doesn't happen, they're still going to keep that peace. And then once they do pass on, their witness is going to mean more sometimes than if everybody had just been healed. Because there you see the perseverance of the person rather than, well, they got healed, so now I'm in a bad situation and I should get healed too. And if I don't, I'm going to lose my faith.
Yeah, and it goes back to trust too in the Lord. You know, despite what the church teaches us and what we know to be true, we get pulled away from the reality, the openness to what God's doing in our lives. You know, again, God does test us. Now, that's not so that we can fail, but rather so that we can be strengthened. But I think we tend to say, you know, God, why are you doing this? As opposed to, God, thank you for doing this. I don't know why you're doing it exactly, but I know there's something in what I'm going through right now that's for my glory. You're sharing your glory with me by trusting me to take this situation, to practice the virtues, to work on joy, to work on peace, so that I can thrive as your child. And again, I think, you know, even among Catholics, you know, the Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church, we have this very, very profound view of eternity, that it's not this passive, you know, kind of, that's why I don't particularly like the idea of seeing the face of God, although that's the image from Old and New Testament. But, you know, it's I always had it as a kid, this idea, we're just standing around looking at God. Well, that's doesn't get to it at all. We are going to be reigning with God. That's what Scripture says. It says in the second Eucharistic prayer, we are going to be co-heirs with Jesus. What did Jesus get? He got everything. We're going to inherit everything along with him. We are going to be seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is reserving the seat for us. That's a very, very dynamic understanding of heaven. You know, it's not giving up anything. It's rather getting everything. But I don't think we talk about that enough. The reality of what our faith tells us about heaven and that we should be looking forward to it. And fortunately, in some of the new translations in the Mass, it says we should have our eyes on heaven, not because we don't like this world, but if we're truly focused on the good things of heaven, we're going to give everything over to God, because the gift of heaven calls to me for a response, and I give my life for it in service to God and the kingdom now, not worrying about holding on to anything, because, as I say, we're going to be co-heirs with Christ.
Father Mike Mayer, live this hour on Calling All Catholics, talking about the fruits of the Holy Spirit in the context of all of our challenges and difficulties of the day. If you have any questions on this topic, we welcome your calls at 1-877-511-LIVE, 1-877-511-5483.
So the next one is, the next fruit is patience. Boy, I hear that in confession all the time. I'm impatient. And I am too. It's almost ironic, because I say to so many people, well, what are you impatient about? What do you have to get to? Are the people passing you? And you pull up behind them at the next light. What are we in a rush for? Well, patience, and other ways of talking about it, is long suffering, endurance, which, again, something that we can practice in our lives. What would it look like for me to be patient? To practice patience. And I don't want to be with people all the time, and I'm probably one of them, who are, you know, kind of always tapping their foot. And I remember once playing a game of tennis, and my partner, oh my God, every time I would hit into the net, he'd go, oh, you know, it was like, come on, I'm not that good, but, you know, why don't you support me a little bit, encourage me, and be patient with me, and maybe that would encourage me. But I think that's what it does. People who are patient, I'd say that's a big gift of anybody, of any disciple, of people who do ministry as, let's say, a main vocation, of teachers. They've got to be patient. They've got to be able to show others that they're not here for their own glory, but they really are here to support others, to encourage others, to bring the best out in others. And that's what patience is partly about, to bear up, as one person puts it, under difficult circumstances, not being passive, but to be there. In a sense, I suppose, to be ready to act. I think that's part of patience. Be ready to act when the moment arises, as opposed to this kind of knee-jerk reaction when anything happens. And so we get ourselves all balled up. We start judging other people, criticizing other people, as opposed to saying, well, wait. I have an opportunity here to practice patience, to step back and to suffer, to be meek, to lowly. It goes again with humility. To really practice patience means that I'm going to do it not for myself, for my own grandeur, but for other people, so that they know I'm here for them.
I really think patience can be one of the easiest and difficult difficult fruits to at least even identify whenever we fall short. Like you said, lots of people will go to confession and say, well, I was impatient. Those are the times you can visibly see it, because you have this reaction outwardly to it a lot of times. But then the difficult part, which is what you mentioned about judging people and everything along the lines of mentally and spiritually inside of you, how are mm-hmm. you thinking about it? Well, you might not be able to detect that right away, first of mm-hmm. all, because it is inside, and then also because you're just, you think, well, actually, I'm not looking at it as judging them. I'm doing this or that. And so whenever you start, mm-hmm. whenever you have that inside, it can be, I think, more dangerous in a sense of, being able to, you think you're rationalizing it and not actually seeing it.
Right. And that's why to recognize other people who are patient, who show that patience, and, you know, engage with them. How do you get to that point? Or how do you practice patience? We say patience is a virtue. Well, if it's a virtue, then it's a habit that we create. What would that look like? Could I, some people probably do this, you know, go into the longest line, or as I'm in a line waiting, you know, to say, okay, here I am, there's nothing I can do about it, but I can take advantage of it. I can look at all the people, pray for them, ask God to bless them, and that's a wonderful way of practicing that. And you know, people who are grimacing, smile back to them. But, you know, all those little things, which are, you know, neither here nor there, can help us focus on what's really important. What am I rushing to? I mean, when I die, I don't take anything with me. I don't take my career with me, all the things that I've gained, I bought, et cetera, et cetera. So if I keep pulling back, and I think that's what we're called to do, keep pulling back and saying, really, what is important? That also helps to put us in the moment. And that's the whole idea of the practice of the present moment, or the sacrament of the present moment, to be in the moment, to be aware of the opportunities in the moment to be faithful to God. And I think that's part of patience. The more patient we are, the more we're going to see in that moment, we're going to be able to be more objective, more aware of what's going on around us as well as in us, and we can respond then in a gentle, patient way. And really, again, it may not be a very obvious thing to other people, but if I'm rooted in the Lord, it's going to have an effect in other people. I may never see it till I go to the Lord, but it's going to have an effect on other people.
Whenever we struggle with patience and asking, okay, well, who comes to mind when we think of someone being patient? A lot of times it's going to be that person that has a peace about them, or you mm-hmm. can criticize
That's
somebody
right.
and then that other person will say, well, and give them the benefit of the doubt. And I think those are the people that at least stick out to me in my mind of, mm-hmm. all right, they're not going to go along with that. They're going to think better of someone.
Mm-hmm. And I bet a lot of kids now, if they don't know who their new teachers are going to be, they're probably hoping they have this teacher as opposed to that teacher. And I suspect in some cases because maybe she doesn't give homework or whatever, or he doesn't give homework, but also probably because they're patient. They have a smile. They don't get, lash out at people. So that's a real fruit, obviously, that people in situations like teaching can really work on. And kids will notice that. And kids will thrive when they see that in parents or teachers or other adults, people who are willing to be with them regardless of how fast something gets done or whatever, but be patient, just as God is patient with us. So, again, it's always rooted in God. And let's face it, if God were not patient, oh, my God, I mean, we'd all be gone long ago. But God is a God of second and third and multiple chances because he is patient. And as Scripture says, he's patient for us so that we can do what we need to do to be close to him and faithful to him as disciples. It's not because he needs to do it, but he does it for us. So we need to do it not just for ourselves but for other people.
Still a few minutes left on the program. If you want to get your questions in for Father Mike Mayer today, we're talking about the fruits of the Holy Spirit at 1-877-511-5483, 1-877-511-5483. We also welcome your emails at cac@thestationofthecross.com. or by posting to our Facebook page, The Station of the Cross Catholic Radio. Even with the simple example, Father, of the kids at school and which teachers that they would prefer. And, yeah, it's important to obviously learn, and that's what they're there for. But to be able to have that patience with them and have that balance, okay, I know everyone's not going to move at the same pace, and it's going to be easier for some kids to get it than others, and to not make it feel like they're just wasting my time.
Yeah, and that's in our society today where we have so much technological wizardry, we think people should be as quick to respond as a computer or a smartphone. And I think that's the other thing we need to, one of the things we also have to take into consideration. Our culture does not nurture these fruits in general. I would say maybe 50, 60 years ago, the culture itself had built into it some practices that would nurture these things. For example, when I was growing up, there were the blue laws, where on Sunday you didn't work. The stores weren't open. I mean, the deli might be open for the morning, but that was about it. So it was a day with the family. Yeah, people did little errands and all that, but I remember a big family meal, maybe visiting relatives, but a very sort of quiet day. That's not the case today. So again, we're talking about a way of life, a Christian way of life, which is very important. It's in Scripture. It tells us we need to work on these things, and we need to work on them not just so that we can be better disciples in doing the work of the Lord, but so that we can show other people there is another way of being, another way of doing. I don't have to be impatient. I can be patient because the Holy Spirit's already working on that in me, and I can cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit. So I think it's very important to remember. I think it's just going to get worse, obviously, as time goes by, with cable TV and these phones, et cetera, et cetera. So more and more, I think it's more and more important that we look at these, the fruits of the Spirit, the virtues, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we really take time to ask ourselves, what are we doing with them? How are we letting them shine through our lives?
Well, we have a few comments here on Facebook. Let me just get that for you, Father. They're both from two of our CAC priests. The first one is Father Molesky. He says, patience is like a muscle. Use it or lose it. So then Father Peter,
that's great.
Father Peter follows up with, some people love being patience barbells.
Very good. Yeah. And it is. It's all these things are, working out with the body. Growing. I mean, these are all good ways. You have to work at them. You have to do something. And we do become stronger. And if we want to build up our spiritual lives, if we want to build up our beings, our divine beings, then we do have to work at these things. And it can get tiring. Lord knows in the stressful ways, the stressful society we live in today, we have to be very mindful, in anything we do, but specifically in working on these, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit.
So far we've talked about charity or love, joy, peace, patience, and what's the next one, Father?
Well, the next one's actually a number of them, but they really fit together. There's kindness, there's goodness, there's gentleness. And I see all of them kind of going together because it's a way of relating to other people, of showing to other people that we are there for them. And if we think of God, we think of God's kindness. We think of God's goodness. We think of God's gentleness. Maybe we don't. In some cases, people go through a lot in their lives and they think, well, God, why are you doing this to me? And yet, God only allows us to go through things that we can handle, and he's there. And that's what Paul says. You know, we don't need to be worried. So, you know, we may not think God's being gentle, but in fact, for us in our particular circumstances, the way we were created, what we understand or don't understand, God is very gentle. God is very good. God is very kind. And that goes again to the root foundations of our beliefs, that God is for us. He's not against us. But again, I I need to sit down. I need to take time in prayer, in discussion with other people, to see where God is good to me. That flows into gratitude. I've got to look at the God's gentleness and say, well, you know, I came through this. I keep coming through these things, okay? So God must know what I can tolerate. But again, we have to think about them. We have to look at our lives. Again, I think I mentioned the last time, the Jesuits have this examine in the evening, to look back over the day, to find what pulled us towards God, what pulled us away from God. You know, it's the same sort of thing. Where do I see the gentleness of God? And it may come through other people. And who do I know who's gentle with me, who's patient with me, who's kind to me, who's good to me, even though I'm not good to them, I'm not kind to them? How are they showing that to me and giving me an example of how I can be towards others? And again, then I can nurture those fruits in my own life. I can practice them, expand upon them again, so that I can be that way towards other people. Just as God is those ways towards me, I can be that way towards other people. And it's very encouraging then. It encourages other people to be open, to work on what they struggle with, because they know I'm not going to be there to criticize them, but I'm going to be there to be patient and kind and good to them as they work through whatever they're working through.
Yeah, like you said, those really work closely together, and a lot of it has to do, of course, with patience too, and really tie together. But the people that you think of that are good or kind, exhibiting those qualities, are probably going to be patient people.
Right. And just going back to the idea of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, one writer says the Greek word that's used is singular. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. So he would say these nine gifts are really all parts of one big gift. So they do flow in and out of all of the gifts. So they're not to be taken, you know, pulled apart. But obviously, as human beings, we work on one at a specific time.
And those are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Thank you very much, Father. Can you leave us with
the
final
welcome.
Blessing?
Yes, Lord. Bless us, Lord, as we continue to be your good disciples, your good sons and daughters. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Calling All Catholics. We'll be back tomorrow on our Open Forum Tuesday edition with Father Marty Maleski in for Father Rick Poblocki. I'm Gina Zanicki for the Station of the Cross. Have a great evening, and God bless.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by the Station of the Cross. The Station of the Cross is a listener-funded nonprofit organization. If this podcast has helped you in your spiritual journey, please consider making a donation today. Donations can be made through our website, thestationofthecross.com, or by calling 1-877-888-6279. Thank you for listening to and supporting the Station of the Cross, proclaiming the fullness of truth with clarity and charity.